Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, "You say, 'The Lord's way is not fair.' Hear now, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins that he has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Remember your mercies, O Lord.
Remember your mercies, O Lord.
Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. You guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior.
Remember your mercies, O Lord.
Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from of old. The sins of my youth and my frailties remember not. In your kindness remember me, because of your goodness, O Lord.
Remember your mercies, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way.
Remember your mercies, O Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vain glory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. And found in human appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet, even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Deacon Brian. I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to tell you we've got nothing for these readings today.
No, basically.
No, I'm only kidding. We would never say that, of course. Today's reading, one of the things, Dawn, that I think in the Gospel that comes off is something that's an adage that we hear a lot in English, the adage, "actions speak louder than words," of course, where Jesus makes this proposition about the two sons, and one says, "I'm going to do something," and then doesn't do it. Another one says, "I'm not going to do it," but ends up doing it. So I think that certainly that's a lesson that I think we've all experienced in our own life in numerous ways, not just in our spiritual lives, but in our everyday lives. We always have the people who say they're going to help us or say they'll do this or that, but then it turns out that you always have to check up on these people because they never come through for you, that sort of thing. And so we've all experienced that, and we all know how frustrating that can be. And what we learn is that God, in this case, is similar to us. Lots of times we find out how different God is from us, but God is similar to us in that he finds that somewhat frustrating when people say they're going to do something and then don't do it for him. Or on the flip side, the people who say, oh, I don't have time to do that, but then always come around and come through for you in the clutch situation, so to speak, at the last minute. That person who said, gee, I really don't have time to volunteer at the ice cream booth this year, and ends up coming at the last minute when you're in desperate need of somebody and shows up anyway, despite the fact that they didn't have the time. That's something that I think is also something that we're very thankful for in our own lives. And of course, we see in the scripture today how God tends to prefer that error rather than the error of saying, I'm going to do something, and then when push comes to shove, not really doing it.
I guess I was just thinking about how in my own life, you know, you can tell God's asking for me, asking me to do something, and I say, no, wait, I am not doing that. But, you know, sometimes it comes down to that your life, you know, can't go anywhere until you take that step that you don't want to take. And just how always afterwards I'm like, oh, why didn't I just do that in the first place? It would have been so much easier.
Yep. Yeah. But, I mean, I think some of that's a growing experience too. But, I mean, at the same time, I think that there is a very conscious thing that we need to be careful of, which is, you know, do the things that we say we're going to do. Mm-hmm. I often wonder for me and in my own spirituality, and as I'm looking closer and closer to my ordination, how difficult that's going to be, because I just look at some of the promises that I made at the diaconate ordination. One, for example, is to pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day for the people of God. And that's something that I've found to be difficult to do at times, because there's five, and you're supposed to pray five different times a day. Sometimes I'm not always able to pray them at the correct times, but I do try to be very conscious of making sure that I am being faithful to that promise on similar grounds, because I've said publicly that this is what I'm going to do. And I think that when we do make those types of statements, that we need to really be accountable, both to ourselves, to God, for those types of promises that we make before God. In a similar way that, you know, a husband and wife in a marriage would make a commitment to love, honor each other for the rest of their lives. And I think that that's a very serious commitment that we're making, and it is something that it can be difficult at times, and I'm sure that any married couple will say there are times when their spouse is anything but lovable at times, but they've made that commitment to be with them, and I think that that's a powerful example of this at work in our own lives. So it's not just in little things, but the big things as well.
You know, I was just rereading the end of the parable, and Jesus says to the chief priests and the elders that, you know, John came to you and talked about righteousness, in the way of righteousness, it says, and that you didn't believe him, but that tax collectors and prostitutes did. So I just got to thinking, Brian, who are some of the people in your life that have taught you the way of righteousness, I guess?
Well, I think for me, initially, I'd have to say that for me began with my family. That's, I think, the initial thing. And I think for most people that's probably the initial place where you begin to learn righteousness, justice, love of God, all that kind of stuff. I think for a majority of people, they're probably in the same boat as me, is where that came from, family. And I think, and particularly two people I credit a lot are my grandfather and my uncle, who's a Holy Cross priest. Both of them were people who were very faithful and very much into their faith. And I think that they were wonderful examples for me as to what it means to be faithful, what it means to be righteous, to believe in God, those sort of values. And that's not to discredit my parents either. I don't want to neglect them either at all, too. They would be important in that as well.
What about in today's, in where you are today? You don't have to particularly name names because I'm sure I would be top among the list, but
well, yes, that's,
are there people you look to today?
I think there's a handful of priests. In many ways, I still look to my uncle and as an example of what it is to be a good, holy, and happy priest. And so for me, that's somebody who I really look to. And a lot of times whenever I have difficult situations, I'll go to him. That my grandfather, who people who've listened to this program regularly or for a long time will know, he's died a few years, about, I guess, is it almost 2 years now ago that he died while I was on internship out at St. Mary's. But in many ways, I still turn to him. I always keep in my pocket, whenever I deacon a mass, I have a rosary that belonged to my grandfather that's always with me because I know he's looking over me. But then there are several priests that I can name, both here at the seminary and people in Rochester. My spiritual director in Rochester, Father Upson, would be somebody who I would look to. I don't ever admit Father Brewer, but there are times when I will say that. But if anybody plays this for Father Brewer, I'll be very upset. But, I mean, I think that there are peers that I have who, for me, are that model of righteousness. And even I find people in the parish themselves. There are plenty of parishioners who I could point to who model that in the way that they live out their daily lives. So I think that all of those, there's not, and I don't want to single out parishioners here on the podcast, obviously, but there are a number of them who I could point to. Who have been
like
models.
Everyone listening to our podcast.
Right. Like if you're listening to the podcast, you're the one who I'm thinking of. You're the one who it is who models that righteousness to me.
How about, I know I'm sort of doing an interview, but what if we were looking for something for someone to read about righteousness that would provide good insight and think, can you think of either an author or a particular title or a church document? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Off the top of my head, yeah, that's a tough one in terms of righteousness. Partially because I think that it depends on your spirituality,
very
which is
true.
Why I'd say it's a tough one. Because part of righteousness, I think, is that sense of being true to yourself. I mean, that's in being true to who you are. And in a sense, in this parable, we have two people who neither one are true to their words. And, you know, God says, well, I prefer the one better than the other. But I think there's ultimately a sense of being true to yourself. For me, one person who I like to read is St. Ignatius Loyola. As much as I pick on the Jesuits all the time, I think that he is a good model of understanding who you are. And I think that in order to be able to be true to yourself, you have to have that understanding of who you are. And that's from his Examination of Conscience. So that's one that I think is really good. Another person, though, who I really like is Francis de Sales and The Devout Life. And again, it's a lot of this is, in a sense, psychological spirituality, if you will. But I find it very powerful for that whole experience of learning who I am so that I can be true to who I am. And believe in the word that's come to me. And I think that even in the gospel, we talk about here the reason that the tax collectors and the Pharisees tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting in before the chief priests and the elders is that issue of they're true to their beliefs. They're true to what God has asked of them in an interior disposition. Certainly they're sinful, but they don't pretend that they're not sinful. In that way. And they don't do their prayer and their religious experience doesn't flow from selfishness or vainglory, as Paul mentions in that second reading, that they have that true sense of conversion, which is they understand who they are, which is sinful people and an unworthy people in many ways. And they act seeking forgiveness, seeking mercy, and they recognize themselves as who they are, whereas the chief priests tended to lord it over people. And that's not really who we are.
Right.
I just came from a class, Theology of Priesthood, and that was one of the things the professor in the class addressed today. He said, you know, if you don't do things out of pastoral charity, which is what he said, which is the notion, he said, for priests of laying down your life for your people. If that's not the notion you're doing things out of, he said, then you're going to end up lording your priesthood over people. And I think that was a real powerful statement that he made today in class. And I think many of us, that one really hit us.
And I totally agree with that. I think as a person in the pews, I can name different, not name, I wouldn't name, but my experience of different priests, that comes through loud and clear. And the ones that you want to, that you would consider going to talk to when you come into crisis, is you can point to that person based on how they're coming through just from, you know, a homily or something like that. And so I think that your professor was right on target.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. You're exactly right. And it doesn't mean that the person who's acting out of pastoral charity never admonishes or chastises or challenges people. But it is that it's, they're doing it as a, in part of laying down their life for you. And certainly most of the people listening to this would be at St. Mary's, I imagine. And I think Father Mull is an example of that. And I think you hear that over and over from the people. This is a guy who, you know, bends over backwards to do everything for his people, maybe, you know, lays down his life too much if you want to give a criticism of him. And I'm sure he's heard that criticism, but he is one who I think can truly model that for us.
And of course it goes beyond just the priesthood. It's all of us are called to do that, to lay down our lives. And probably if you looked at your friends, if each of us did that, our closest friends are probably that sort of person that we know we can turn to because they will lay down their lives for us.
And on that note, Dawn, I do see that we are eating up time like crazy on the podcast today, even though we had nothing to say. So we hope that people got something out of our nothing and will join us next week on your Sunday Reader and get more nothing from us. Have a good week and God bless.